Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is the responsible day for the 16th of Cheshvan. And today we're going to discuss Rav Moshe Feinstein's view of whether non-Jews get reward for mitzvot. So it's a fascinating tshuva because Rav Moshe Feinstein, this is from Yoredeya Bet Zion. Rav Moshe Feinstein is aside from being a very knowledgeable man and being an important posek and all those kinds of things, was an extremely creative thinker. And it's interesting to watch this tshuva because to me it's an example of, and I'm not somebody to criticize Rav Moshe or to question him, but I think that as we read through the tshuva, it becomes clear that he became convinced of a certain idea, and he was so certain of it that any evidence to the contrary was not going to sway him. And that's an interesting thing to watch. Doesn't happen all the time, doesn't happen often, but it's something to think about in terms of Rav Moshe Feinstein himself, but in general, in terms of poskim, in terms of great thinkers. What does it mean to recognize that even our greatest thinkers sometimes maybe allow themselves to get carried away with themselves? So some people take that way too far and say, oh, see, you can't trust anybody, you have to trust your own opinion. And it's clearly not true. I don't mean to say anything like that. I just mean to say every so often, I think even with those who are much greater than us, we can notice when they seem to have gotten an idea in their head for reasons that we probably can't know or can't understand, and it doesn't seem to conform to the easiest way to understand something. That's the experience I had with this tshuva, with this responsum, and it's on a topic that has important ramifications, not only for our attitude towards non-Jews, but our attitude towards mitzvot in ways that we'll see. So this is Yoredeya Bet Zion. It's from the 16th of Cheshvan of Tavshin Chaf Aleph, 16th of Cheshvan of 1960. And it's written to Yisrael Shapansky, who was an important, he was the editor of Or HaMizrach, and he also, I realize now, put together a four-volume compendium on, he was an author too, he was an author and an editor, an important Rav in his own right, and he had written to Rav Moshe about the fact that Rav Moshe had said, in a previous responsum, that he didn't think that non-Jews got reward for their mitzvot. So Rav Moshe says, even though I really have no time, and the reason I have no time is because I have tshuvot to write to people who need it for halacha lemaisa issues. So I really have to answer those tshuvot, those responses, those issues more pressingly. But since you were so surprised at what I had written, and you thought that I had contradicted that which is explicit in other texts, so I'm going to write you back as quickly as I can, you know, briefly, relatively, and he hopes that Hashem will help him see his way to getting the right answer. So I think the tshuva that he's referring to, he says he had already written a tshuva about non-Jews doing mitzvot and about a Rambam in Perek Gimel Hilchos Trumos Halachatet. I think the one to which he was referring, the way I found it, was in the sixth volume of Orach Chaim of Igros Moshe, meaning I think it was published much, much later, where he says, Barul Aniyat Ati, it's clear to me that there's a great distinction between a woman and an Evet. So halachically, the Gemara talks about both of them having the same level of obligation in mitzvot. They're both obligated in all mitzvot, except for mitzvot aseh shazman grama, except for obligations that have some kind of a time component to them. So it's often taken as sort of a slap in the face to women that, look at that, slaves get their same level of obligation. But Rav Moshe Feinstein had said, he thinks that for all that they seem to have the same obligations, they actually are very, very different from each other. Because the difference comes up in the question of when they observe mitzvot that they're not obligated in. So let's say they sit in a sukkah. Right, so whether that's a fulfillment of a mitzvah, Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks, it's the difference between the two of them. Because women, you have in a lot of places that women are just have the same Jewish sanctity as men do. It's that the Torah freed them of the obligation of certain things, for whatever reason, it doesn't get into reasons. But when we say it that way, they are full-fledged Jews, they're Jews just like men, just the Torah said they didn't have to do certain things. So then, if they do them, they're certainly mitzvot, because they're part of the whole covenant of mitzvot, and so that all the mitzvot in theory apply to them, and therefore when they perform them, they get a mitzvah, and that's why Ashkenazim assume that women can even make brachot, can even make the blessing. discussing on performance of such mitzvahs. But when it comes to slaves, so again, these are non-Jews who are partially converted to Judaism for the purpose of being a slave to a Jew. Rav Moshe says, "Ein lahem kedushat Yisrael." They don't have, and he says they have a lower level of sanctity. Yes, they have some level, a greater level of sanctity than an ordinary non-Jew because they have partially converted. But that lower level of sanctity, he says, is not the full sanctity of it being a Jew, and therefore, he says, they don't have a kiyum mitzvah. So it's important to notice now, when he says they don't get reward, he doesn't mean Hashem doesn't like them and therefore Hashem will just not reward them for doing a good thing. He says it's not like a good thing. It's not a kiyum mitzvah. It's not a fulfillment of anything. It's not an action that has content to it. And that's why he says they can't make a bracha on it. So that's going to be an underlying assumption here that I think we don't realize. If we focus only on the question of reward or not reward, it could just sound like, will Hashem, you know, give them a cookie for being a good person? But Rosh is not saying Hashem doesn't choose to give them a cookie. Rosh is saying that Hashem doesn't count it as an observance of value. And he doesn't mean, Hashem's mean, and we'll see later in the Tshuva, he's going to talk about things that they do that theoretically you'd say, oh, that must also be included. And he says, no, that is a mitzvah. But what he's saying is that the idea of sitting in a sukkah on Sukkot as being valuable is that it's valuable for Jews because Hashem made it that way. But it doesn't mean anything to non-Jews, and it doesn't mean anything to partially converted slaves. That's what he says. V'nireh baror, he says, it seems clear to me that a non-Jew who fulfills a mitzvah between Hashem and people, it's not a mitzvah. It's not, therefore there's a reward. It's not an action of value. And in this first tshuva, we're going to get back to it in our next tshuva, but in this first tshuva he says, that he points out, there is, he knows, a Rambam in Perek Yud of Hilchot Melachim Halacha Yud, where the Rambam says, Ben Noach sheratzah lasot mitzvah, if a non-Jew wants to do a mitzvah, we don't stop them. And if they bring a sacrifice, or they give tzedakah, that we actively accept to them. But other mitzvot, the Rav Moshe understood the Rambam to mean, like wearing tzitzis, or sending away the mother bird when you're going to take the baby birds, or brit milah, that he thinks the Rambam didn't include non-Jews in at all. And the Radvaz, he says, if you look at the Radvaz there on the Rambam, the Radvaz sounds like the Rambam means it only in terms the Radvaz there sounds like the Rambam means all mitzvot, other than the Radvaz has a category that he excludes, but that really all mitzvot, if they want to come and do it, they can do it, and they get a mitzvah, and they get sakar, but the Rav Moshe says, no, he thinks that Rambam was only talking about korbanot, which we accept from everybody, and about giving tzedakah, because that's giving charity to other people, that's an inherently good action. We're going to see a couple of more examples later on. And the Radvaz, though, understood that Rambam to mean, which is, I think, the general way to understand the Rambam, which is why Rabbi Shapensky was so surprised by Rav Moshe Feinstein's position. The Radvaz does say he wonders about mitzvot that are particularly connected to the sanctity of the Jewish people, like wearing tefillin or putting a mezuzah on our doors. There, the Radvaz seemed to think that maybe it doesn't make sense to him that non-Jews would keep it just the way we do. But that seems to me very different than what Moshe Feinstein is saying. The Radvaz is upset about it because he thinks that's so connected to the sanctity of Jewish people. It's sort of like them horning in on that which is unique to us and directed only to us. Whereas Moshe is saying something different. He's saying that, well, or he's saying the same thing, but he's saying it much more broadly, that the broad sweep of mitzvot is only relevant to us and therefore not relevant to them. In any case, when he sees this Radvaz, he says, it's a strange Radvaz. So this is going to come up a few times in this response, and it's worth paying attention to. It's a Radvaz that everybody else that I know of has read and understood and said, yeah, that's what the Rambam meant. And Rav Moshe is so sure that the Rambam meant something different that he's surprised that the Radvaz could mean such a thing. Because he says it sounds like in the Rambam it's just a sacrifice, because that's a sacrifice, those are korbanot, which are meant for everybody to be able to bring. And tzedaka is an interpersonal mitzvah. That's where they get reward. So Rav Moshe just implied that interpersonal mitzvot, meaning the ones that we all understand and whatever, there maybe the non-Jews do get reward for it, even though they're not particularly commanded in it. But he says the majority of mitzvot, he says, Ruba derubim mitzvot, lo shaychei klal detluyin b'yitzias mitzrayim. The vast majority of mitzvot doesn't make sense for them. It's not relevant to them because they're connected to Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's an interesting claim. I wrote a book this past year. I published it this past year called As If We Were There, and it's about Pesach, and it's about readings for Pesach. And one section of the book, and if you're listening to this year and you join them, I would hope that you would think about buying my other books, because I'd like to think that I'm contributing something in terms of enriching people's lives with Torah, and it would be a nachat ruach to me. It would make me happy and satisfied to know that people are choosing to read my stuff and think about the claims that I've made and the contributions I hope I've made to the world of Torah. So that would be As If We Were There. I also wrote another book called We're Missing the Point, which I think is valuable. Anyway, you can look it up. My point about this issue is that in that book, I went through the mitzvah that the Torah explicitly connects to you leaving Egypt. There are many more than you think there are. There are all the ones that have to do with the holiday of Pesach, and that's a bunch of mitzvot. Then there are, you know, another, I forget what it is now, 23, 24 mitzvot, that the Torah explicitly connects to leaving Egypt, even though they don't obviously connect to leaving Egypt. But A, I don't think that's Ruba de Ruba, meaning there are Tariyag mitzvot, there are 613 mitzvot. The Rosh says there Ruba de Ruba are connected to leaving Egypt. That's an interesting claim. But aside from that, he's also claiming, it seems to me, that whenever the Torah says you have to remember that you left Egypt and therefore do this, that means that's the only value in doing it. And the third thing you have to say that he's saying is, and that being true, a non-Jew, if a non-Jew were to say, listen, I know that God commanded because Jews left Egypt. I think it's a great practice to do. I want to do it because Hashem commanded the Jews who left Egypt. I know I didn't leave Egypt, but I want to do this in recognition of the events of the Exodus. But Moshe is assuming that not A, we don't want him to, but B, more importantly or more fundamentally, we don't want him to because it's an irrelevant category to him. It doesn't work for him. So that's what he says in this original Shuva. So he says maybe the Radvaz means that it means that we don't care that they do it, but not that they get reward, but he doesn't like that Radvaz. He's uncomfortable with that Radvaz. And then he points out a Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Lamed Chet. This is a clear Gemara, which says that Hashem punished the non-Jews of the world for not having listened to him for whatever it was, but the way that Hashem punished them was that from now on, the Gemara says, even when they do those mitzvot that they are obligated to do, Hashem doesn't reward them as if they listened to doesn't reward them as if they fulfilled the commandment in which they were obligated. Hashem only rewards them ke'ein mitzuvin ve'osin, as if they're not obligated to do it, right? There is this discussion in the Gemara in lots of places about the distinction between one who is commanded to perform a mitzvah and does it, and one who is not commanded and does it. So there's a whole discussion of the Gemara. The original thought of Rav Yosef, who we'll see later in this tshuva as well, was that it's better to be not commanded and you get more reward. Then he realized it's not true, that you get more reward if you on a particular mitzvah, the person who's commanded to do it and does it gets more reward. So if, for whatever reason, in the Gemara of a comma, non-Jews aren't getting rewarded a full reward, even for mitzvah that they're commanded in, Rav Moshe says, for sure, for mitzvah they're not even commanded in, they don't get any reward. Again, that's a jump, because it could have theoretically, I mean, Hashem has lots of levels of reward that one can give. Rav Moshe is acting as if there's reward for mitzvah you're commanded in, reward for mitzvah you're not commanded in, and then no reward. So if from mitzvah that they're commanded in, Hashem drops them down to reward as if they're not commanded, Rav Moshe says, well, that's all that leaves for mitzvah in which they're not commanded is no reward. I think there's a logical gap there, not necessarily so. Not that he's wrong, but it's not necessarily so. So that's the original tshuva. Coming back to our tshuva now, Rav Moshe says, that was his discussion back then. He says it's clear that the only mitzvot that they really can do are the ones of Hekdesh, of giving sacrifices, and Staka, because we've seen it in Balak when he got sacrifices. There are Midrashim and Gemaras that understand that for all that Balak, that Bilam got punished for everything he did, that Balak got some reward. The king of Moab got some reward for the sacrifices that he brought. And there's a Gemara that says about Nebuchadnezzar and in Daniel that the Staka, the charity that Nebuchadnezzar gave, was accepted. So that, we, in other words, he's saying it's not that I just think that korbanot or tzedakah are good mitzvot or obviously apply to human beings. I have sources that tell me that they can get rewarded for that. And then he says, we have some more sources. The tradition is the daughters of Lot, who for some reason come to believe that the whole world has been destroyed, and therefore that they need their father to impregnate them in order to continue humanity and civilization. It's a whole odd story of its own, because you'd have to think that that would mean they'd also have to find girls to, you know, marry these sons that they're creating with their father. Whatever happens with that story, however that story works, the Gemara says that the older daughter called her son Moav, And he called her Moav because she got pregnant by her father, Me'av. The daughter, the younger one, called her son Ammon because it was like from Bnei Ammi. So she didn't quite say it as explicitly. She found a more delicate way and a more hidden way to refer to what had happened. And the Gemara says that because she spoke so nicely, she gets a reward. So too, there's one that says that when Nebuchadnezzar heard, I think Nebuchadnezzar? Giving honor to Hashem. He says Nebuchadnezzar took 3 steps forward to hear the Dvar Hashem, to hear the word of God, and so you get reward for that. In other words, there are cases in the Gemara where we see non-Jews being rewarded for good things that they did, rather than understanding that to mean, for Moshe to mean that by and large, non-Jews who do good things get rewarded for it. Moshe thinks that each of those are particular exceptions, we have a particular source for it. But the broader category says, well, the Shmirat Shabbat we're going to see is actually an exception. But the Yom Tov and Anachat Tefillin and wearing Tefillin or wearing tzitzis or sitting in a sukkah or shaking a lulav or hearing the blowing of a shofar or eating kosher or not wearing shatnez, right? So he's gone now to the ritual, most of the ritual commandments is what he's naming here, and things like that. There's no reward because they're not relevant to it because they didn't get the Torah. And so they get the Torah, and they're not part of it. And that's the basic claim that he's making. He's convinced that. But so I want to make clear that that means he's convinced then, and I don't know what his Tami HaMitzvos, what his version of why mitzvos are commanded is, but whatever it is, he's saying that whatever the value of not eating of refraining from not eating kosher cannot be, according to your emotion, there's any real problem with it. Meaning, is it bad to eat pig? Is it bad humanly to eat pig? So there might be that there are health problems with eating pig. That's not our issue. But is it bad humanly in some metaphysical level to eat pig? There are those who claim yes, right? I've seen people who said yes, and that's why we're more kadosh, we're more sanctified. But if that were true, then you'd think that refraining from eating pig would avoid whatever damage to the soul that pig causes. Or blood, right? Is it bad to eat blood? Rav Moshe is saying that it's only relevant to those who have the brit, the covenant of Torah. When he says that, he's making, aside from whether or not he's right, it's like the claim isn't only about what non-Jews do or don't get, it's about what's valuable for non-Jews. So if a non-Jew comes to me and says, listen, I'm thinking of buying an Italian soup, but I know they make it with shatnez, is there any reason I shouldn't buy it? So I might have imagined somebody saying, well, shatnez has these metaphysical ramifications, this and this and this, and it's a better idea if you don't keep shatnez, if you keep shatnez. Or should I take away the mush? I see a mother bird with her babies. I want to take them all. Non-Jew comes to me and says to me, what should I do? So if you explain that as a mitzvah of, you know, we should train ourselves to be, you know, have compassion. We should learn to have compassion on the mother bird, or whatever the reasons you give, but the reason that you give is a rationalistic one, I would have imagined the answer is, well then, yeah, you should, if you want to, you should do it. And I think that's the way most people read the Rambam. But Moshe Feinstein is so sure that that's not the way mitzvahs work, that he's saying that non-Jews aren't included because they're not part of that covenant, and therefore it's not relevant to them, and there's no reward for them, and there's no, they ain't sheyachin kla. They're not even, it doesn't matter to them because they weren't part of the Torah. And then he says, ve'avtav davar hazeh muchrach misvara. Even though the truth is that this is obvious intellectually and logically. So that's a fascinating claim for me. He's so positive of it. He says it's obvious. But I think I can also show you that the Rambam must have meant this as well. The Rambam in Perek Yud of Hilchos Malachim Halacha Tet, the Rambam says that a non-Jew who studies Torah or keeps Shabbos, right? So those are clear, but those are clear exceptions the Gemara has for reasons of their own. That's not going to be our conversation here. But then the Gemara says, or the Rambam says, the Asamo Eid, or he made a holiday for himself, Chayav Mita. He's liable for the death penalty, and the Rambam closes with a general rule. Ein Menichein, we don't let non-Jews, Lechadesh Dat, we don't allow them, if we could have the ability to, we don't allow them to create a religion and to make mitzvos of their own, that they make up on their own. Their choice is to be a ger tzedek, to convert, or to stick with the Torah that was commanded to them. So the Rav Moshe says, I don't understand what the Rambam is talking about, because none of the mitzvot of Bnei Noach, of non-Jews, are a mitzvah of Baal Tosef, of not adding. So if a non-Jew says, listen, I have the 7, I want to do an 8th. So a Jew can't add mitzvot because of Baal Tosef, because we're not allowed to add to the Torah, but the non-Jews don't have that mitzvah. So he says, so when it comes to learning Torah and keeping Shabbos, that has nothing to do with them having added mitzvahs to their own. That's because those practices are ones that the Gemara understands to be uniquely connecting the Jewish people to Hashem, and therefore it's like them stealing from us and taking something from us that doesn't belong to them. And in Shabbos, it's actually broader than them just keeping Shabbos. It's also, there's a mitzvah, there's a pasuk that says, lo yishbotu, they're not allowed to rest, meaning that non-Jews are supposed to see it as their obligation to always be involved in the building up of the world. This gets complicated today in terms of how we look at, you know, non-Jews who have a Sabbath day in their week have taken it from us. They seem to be, according to the Rav Moshe, according to the Rambam, in violation of this idea that there may be room to say that you want to construct a work week in which there are days off to do other activities. But the idea that non-Jews can just say to them, so this is a day for me to rest and stop, so that's a problematic issue, not just for emotion, but in the Rambam, whatever. That's not our main topic. His point is, those are exceptions. But his the real concern is other mitzvot. So he says it might be that by establishing a new day, this looks too much like establishing their own religion. And the Rav Moshe is saying, and this I think is clear in the Rambam, they're not allowed to establish their own religion. Right? What's supposed to happen is that non-Jews are supposed to concede the truth of Torah, and in conceding the truth of Torah, to recognize they have seven mitzvot of their own, and that's their religion is given by the Torah. And they can stick with that religion given by the Torah, or they can convert to the Jew, to our version of religion given by the Torah, but nothing new. So that part of it, I think, is clear. And then he goes on to say that l'chadesh mamdat, to create a new religion, is l'asot mitzvot l'atzman mida'atan l'kavanat chiyu, is to fulfill mitzvot by, on their own, that they've chosen as a, out of a sense of obligation. Like he says, the Arabs, who Muhammad and Islam created mitzvot, chidush hadat, even though it's true that they believe in God, and even though it's true they fundamentally keep the seven mitzvot, and Rav Moshe thinks, yitchayvu mita b'dei shamayim, a remarkable claim, although I don't think it's a surprising claim, meaning I don't think it's shocking for those who know the sources, but he's saying, you know, being a Muslim, for all that it is monotheistic, he thinks it's a violation of this idea of chidush dat, of starting a new religion, that the Rambam had said what is a capital crime. Now the truth is, he says, though, but the Rambam only got there by being Dorish Taima Dekra. The Rambam understood that from, he inferred that on his own. There's no specific Gemara that says that chidush dat, that starting a new religion, is itself problematic for non-Jews, is itself a problem. He got it from his understanding of the issues with not them not being able to create Shabbos and not being able to be have a day of rest. Either they don't keep our day of rest, they keep their own day of rest, right? Lo yishbotu. The Rambam understood there was a problem with chidush dat. But the Meiri, Rav Moshe says, also was Dorish Taima Dekra on these kinds of issues. But the Meir gave a different reason. The Meir's reason for why non-Jews can't keep a day of rest, like a Sunday or even like a Sunday or a Friday, is because they look too much like Jews, and then people will think that they have access to the truth of what Hashem wants of us, and they'll follow them instead of following us. So Rav Moshe says he's not sure why all of a sudden they allowed themselves to be Dorish Tama Dekra, to be certain they knew the reason for a prohibition. Ordinarily, we say we're not Dorish Tama Dekra. Ordinarily, we avoid thinking we know the reasons for the Torah, but here they both seem to have gone from, to have extrapolated from the prohibition, the clear prohibition for them to keep any day of rest, even if it's not our Shabbos, and to go from there to think they know the reason, integrating that thing. However that works out, but the Rambam ends up saying that they're not allowed to create their own religion. For Rav Moshe, that's not only about they create their own religion in the sense of we decide Friday is a day of rest, or we decide to create, you know, a holiday called Ramadan in which we do X, Y, and Z. But Rav Moshe is saying, Rav Moshe takes it for granted. He doesn't even like defend this proposition, that would be true if they started saying, and we keep kosher now. If a non-Jew said, I see the Jews keeping kosher, it looks like a good practice, it looks like it has good values, and Hashem commanded it to them, and it must be that Hashem has good reasons for it, we're going to keep kosher. Rav Moshe takes for granted that that's also going to qualify as chidush dat. He gets that, I think, from the Shabbos example, right? The Shabbos example is slightly different, though, because there they were going to create Shabbos on a different day. Meaning, if they wanted to keep Shabbos like we keep Shabbos, the reason they can't do that is because we have a special pasuk saying that it's a sign between us and Hashem. But Rav Moshe is assuming that that would be true even if they kept kosher the way we keep kosher, will qualify as chidush dat. And if it's going to qualify as chidush dat as starting a new religion, then it's impossible, he says, they get rewarded for it. That piece of it is true. Right? If they're not allowed to do it, you can't imagine they would get reward for the action that they're doing. And then he says, I think other people would have said back to him, he says, and you might think that that's only true if they say that they were also commanded it. Meaning, if a non-Jew came along and said, oh, it turns out that when Hashem commanded the Torah to the Jews with the laws of kosher, included in the laws of kosher were that non-Jews should keep it as well, and that's why I'm keeping it. So maybe that's the problem, you would say, right? And so, and that would be a problem of chidush dat. Rashi says it can't be that, because that would be bal tosif, and we don't have bal tosif in non-Jews. That would be a problem of them adding to the religion they were given, and that's not allowed. So this is all what he assumes. I think there are other ways to read this, but it's not my place to question him. But to think about that question of if a non-Jew comes along and says, I know that I'm not commanded in this, I'm not taking this on because I'm commanded, and I'm taking it on because it seems like a good idea, because Hashem commanded the Jews, and I want to do these good deeds as well. Rav Moshe thinks that qualifies as chidush dat as well. That is starting a new religion, even though they're saying it the way they're saying it. That being true, all right, one last piece. Rav Moshe says, because the reason why he's so sure it's a considered chidush dat is because the non-Jew says, I'm supposed to do this. I need to do this, even though he's not commanded. So I'm not sure what would happen if he said, I'm not commanded. I don't need to do it. I want to do it. Nonetheless, Rav Moshe thinks that it's a chidush dat. Then he notices, as lots of other people do, that the Rambam says, Benoach Shabbatah Lasot Mitzvah, if you want to do a mitzvah for our mitzvot, we don't stop them. So Rav Moshe says he doesn't mean that it's a good thing. He doesn't mean they get rewarded. It just means we don't stop them. We're not going to get involved. And that's only if it's occasionally. Right? And even then, he won't get any reward for the reason that we've already said several times. I don't want to belabor the point, even though he does say it again. And then that Radvaz, who said that it depends on what they're thinking. If they're thinking they're commanded, then we stop them. But if they're thinking they just want to do it because they want to join us in doing a good deed, that then we don't stop them. He says that's also, he thinks, only in terms of what will stop them from doing or not. But he would agree. The Radvaz would agree. Now, I think that there's an example of Rav Moshe being so sure of his opinion that he can't imagine other people disagree with him, because I think hundreds, if not thousands, of people read that Radvaz before Rav Moshe, and since Rav Moshe didn't read it that way. But Rav Moshe is sure that the Radvaz too would agree that the non-Jew doesn't get reward for this. So the problem is, part of the problem is, that the Radvaz himself had said, when it comes to mitzvot that require kedusha and tara, that are specific to Jews, like tefillin, and need a special sanctity and purity, right? So that would seem to be the only category that he cares about, but Rav Moshe says that's the ones where we would or wouldn't allow them to do it, although it doesn't seem that way, he agrees, it doesn't seem that way in the language of the Radvaz. Then it comes back to the question of reward that we brought up a little bit before, where he says, you know, Rav Yosef was an Amora, rabbi at the time of the Gemara, who was blind, who was Sagi Nahor, right, who was lacking light, and who had, you know, much, the Gemara's euphemism is much light in his eyes. And he wasn't sure whether people of that category, people who were without the full light of their eyes, who were not able to see, are obligated in all the mitzvot, because maybe they can't be, because they can't do the mitzvot. So his original thought was, it's better not to be obligated, because I get more reward, because I'm doing it voluntarily. And then he realized, no, it's better to be rewarded. And therefore he wanted to find out that blind people, in fact, are rewarded for their mitzvot. But Rav Moshe is bothered by his first view, when he thought that it would be better not to be commanded to do mitzvot. And he said, could it possibly be true that a non-Jew, that a ben Noach, who does mitzvot would get more reward than a Jew? Right? Is it possible? So the truth is, theoretically, I can imagine myself saying, well, if a non-Jew comes along and never had the benefit of a Torah education, never really was raised in the world of Torah, comes to realize, let's stick with the non-Kedushin Torah mitzvah, comes to realize that there's value in being nice to the mother bird and sending the mother bird away before taking the baby birds. He says, the Torah says it, Hashem said it, it shows me there's a value to this, I'm going to do this. I can imagine that we would say that's so extraordinary that Hashem, in fact, rewards that person more than a regular Jew. But most can't imagine it, because then they're sort of better off for not having been commanded by it, and that might be part of why we end up in the Gemara assuming that God Allah mitzvah v'osef v'sheino mitzvah v'osef. In any case, the Rav Moshe is sure that that's not true, and therefore he says that there's two ways one can be an eino mitzvah v'osef, a not commanded person who does it. And the two ways are, you can be a Jew who's not commanding something. So a Jew who's not commanding something, like we spoke about women before, they're part of the whole covenant, but she's not commanded. And that's the kind of person that Rav Yosef was able to assume to himself, maybe that person would get more reward if they do something in which they're not commanded. But somebody who's not part of it at all, coming back again to this idea of emotions, somebody who's not part of it at all, cannot possibly be getting reward for this. So that's the basic idea. I just want to close with one last piece of where Rav Moshe, I think, shows himself again to be so convinced of his own idea that other evidence isn't going to move him and he's going to find a way to explain it away. He notes a Me'iri in Sanhedrin who says that if somebody is involved in the seven mitzvahs, we honor them because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. So it's an honorable non-Jew. And that's even more so if they're trying to learn about things, to learn them fully enough so that they can convert. And then he's going to keep the basic mitzvot for the right reasons and all the good purposes. It sounds like that even when he's just doing the seven mitzvot and he's doing other mitzvot like those mitzvot, but not to convert, it sounds like he gets reward. And then he says, since I've already made clear that it's impossible for that to be true, it must be that it's a scribal error. And then he notes the editor of the Me'iri at the bottom, it said, this shows that the Me'iri thinks that non-Jews get rewarded for mitzvot that they're not commanded in it, and adds that the Rambam thinks so as well. The Rav Moshe says it's not true, and I just disagree with him, and he says it's got to be, he says it twice, it's got to be a manuscript error, a scribal error. Ve'ein anu achraim al svarim hanimsa'im b'chit v'yad. We're not responsible for books that are in manuscripts because they can have important errors in them, and therefore they might say things that are completely wrong, and it's because somebody made a mistake along the way. So, fundamental question was, do non-Jews get reward for mitzvot? The part of the reason why that's important to me is not only what it says about non-Jews, not only it says about our attitude towards a non-Jew who says, maybe I should keep a mitzvah, but it's just something about the nature of mitzvot and their inherent worth or lack of it, because it seems like they're only worth it for Jews to do, because for non-Jews it's completely irrelevant categories. And then that's the substance of the issue. And then there's the question of watching a giant of Torah, of tremendous knowledge, being completely convinced of something such that evidence of the contrary is just material that he has to understand and explain in a way that fits with his ideas, that he's more than able to do so because of his creativity. And that leaves us wondering, what it leaves us to the question of non-Jews keeping mitzvot. And that is a responsible day for the 16th of Cheshvan. Have a great day.